I have never been able to do that trust test that I had the children. I've never, ever in my whole life been able to successfully plant my feet and fall backwards and trust that somebody would catch me. I've never been able to do it when I've been in small groups or mixers or workshops. And there was a time in my life where it seemed to be a pretty common practice around my home where my brother and I would do it in our kitchen quite frequently. And Jim, my brother, was so adept at it that he would do it when you weren't even looking, which of course could mean for quite a potential trust loss there, but you know, it never happened. We would catch him. He would just start falling. I've never, ever been able to do the trust test. And I'm not sure why, because I'm a pretty trusting person in many, many ways. I think it has to do with being self-conscious, and I think it has to do with being scared that somebody couldn't catch me when I fell and that I would crash. But if you think about it, I'm doing a little bit of a trust test right now as I stand here and offer this morning message. And I am trusting you, and that has been very much with me as I have prepared this trust I feel. And I feel that I can let myself fall with you and that you are there with me and for me, and for that I say thank you. Today we're going to tackle a fairly hefty topic, so much for me being afraid to put a little trust out there. We're going to talk about faith and trust in God. Now, I am fully aware that great scholars, theologians, philosophers, and more than a few greeting card manufacturers and daily devotional writers have studied and studied and studied this topic. They have written, they have prayed, they have argued, and as far as I can tell, they haven't come to any real definite conclusion on the topic. Now, I'm not going to step in and undo their work, and I'm not going to come up with a definite answer, but I am going to share with you this morning some of the ponderings that I have been doing and some of the discoveries that I have made personally and hopefully faithfully on the topic. Probably all of you could deliver this sermon this morning with your own thoughts and your own conclusions. And I welcome your thoughts, your challenges, your criticisms over the next few days. Email me, call me, maybe we can all grow together in this subject. Will you pray with me? Dear God, during this time, this morning, in this place, may we ponder, experience, question, and grow in our understanding of you in our lives. In your name we pray, amen. So let's start out with the word faith. What is it? Well, our very own John Wesley says, it is a divine evidence and convictions of things not seen, of things which are not seen now, whether they are visible or invisible, in their own nature. Particularly, it is a divine evidence and conviction of God and of the things of God. I'm going to read that again. This is John Wesley speaking. He says, it is divine evidence and conviction of things not seen, of things which are not seen now, whether they are visible or invisible, in their own nature. Particularly, he says, faith is a divine evidence and conviction of God and of the things of God. And he goes on to say, as John Wesley did, this is the most comprehensive definition of faith that ever was or can be given, as including each species of faith from the lowest to the highest. Well then, he says it as it is. From the Bible, we learn in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So clearly, certain things seem to be necessary related to faith. There seems to need to be that conviction. It seems to be important that it's not seen. There seems to be trust and the need for belief. We know if we turn on a light switch, in most cases, the light will come on. We know that if in the kitchen we mix flour and milk and butter, we will make a white sauce. We know that if we give the plant the right conditions, it will grow. These things are not really faith. Even though we use the word faith, I have faith that this will happen. These are things that are scientific, evidential, experiential. We have seen it. We know it. It can be proven. Faith, though, takes us into what we think we know, what we cannot prove, what we hope, and what our personal relationship with God as we grow to trust in God. It also uses ourselves, our brains, our creativity, our passion, and that's what we bring to the relationship of faith. A definition that I found that makes a lot of sense to me is from the book Beginning Mindfulness by Andrew Weiss. And in it, he quotes Richard and Antra Borofsky, who developed the following definition of faith. Faith is not a belief, nor is it based on reason. Faith is a choice we make to enter into things as they are and to work with and learn from whatever is happening, no matter how impossible it might seem. It is a choice we make to open ourselves to possibilities that are unseen and unknown. A choice we make to open ourselves to possibilities that are unseen, unknown. It is a choice we make to enter into things as they are and to work with and to learn from whatever is happening, no matter how impossible it might seem. If you can accept these definitions, then we can agree that faith is a relationship between ourselves and God that trusts God and accepts that we together, God and ourselves, can take things as they come to us in whatever form, not just in the good ways, but in whatever form. And in the words of Julian of Norwich, who believed and said that God said these words directly to her, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manners of things shall be well. So, this should be easy, right? We believe in God. We believe that God is going to catch us when we fall. We feel that we sort of know God. We have this faith. So it should be easy, right? Not so much. Most of us, and I bet if I went around and tallied heads right now, many of us admit to feeling very challenged about faith. Part of it is letting go of what we feel we can do in the situation. Part of it is that unknown, and I think there's a little bit of pride. We don't want to feel silly, you know, just trusting in something. But most of us admit to feeling somewhat challenged by faith. And so, why, comes the question. Now, I wasn't asked to name this sermon, thankfully, but if I had been, I think I might have called it Consider the Lemmings. Lemmings, as you know, are little rodents who live in the cold climates of the Arctic. The lemmings are most famous for their mass suicides over the cliffs. Now, I'm really happy for the lemmings, but I'm really kind of sorry that I'm going to be standing here and doing a myth-busting moment to say that lemmings do no such thing. Some of their behaviors in the rodent world are in fact daring. They have brighter colors and they take on their predators much more often than their rodent relatives. And due to great fluctuations in their population numbers, they do in fact sometimes attempt to swim great bodies of water where they sometimes overestimate their capabilities and don't make it. But the cliff dives are totally false. They are not factual. And in fact, were documented by none other than Walt Disney. It appears that for a 1958 film, lemmings were purchased from Inuit children. They were filming in Alberta, Canada, and there are no lemmings in Alberta, Canada. So they were purchased by Inuit children who were charged with finding them and selling them. They were placed on a spinning turntable that was snow-covered, and they were flung into the stormy night, and hence giving rise to the belief that they fling themselves off the cliff. So as one note that I said, considering that Walt Disney made his greatest fame by a rodent, this was not very nice behavior. But we're going to think about the lemmings today anyway, because they really have been a great source of cartoons, and I have two that I'm going to use to illustrate why it is so difficult to be in a trusting, faithful relationship with God. And I really, really want to thank Tom Bowl, because he did it. Tom took care of this. So if you look at the first cartoon, you see the, presumably, lemmings crashing off the cliff. But really, all of a sudden, in mid-pounce, they're saying, wait, we're lemurs, lemurs. Now, in this case, it's truly a case of mistaken identity, and these lemurs have every right to turn tail and run back the other way. But using this as a metaphor, how many times, when faced with challenges or dilemmas, do we forget who we are? Do we forget what we name ourselves? Do we forget that who we claim to be or not to be? And we, in fact, deny our faith. We claim to be church members. We claim to be Christians. But sometimes we get right to that point of that step and say, wait, wait. And we try to run away and deny. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Mere Christianity, a Christian society is not going to arrive, and I would put in there in parentheses, a faith-filled society. A faith-filled society is not going to arrive until most of us really want it. And we are not going to want it until we become fully faith-filled. I may repeat, do as you would have done by till I am blue in the face. But I cannot really carry it out till I love my neighbor as myself. And I cannot learn to love my neighbor as myself till I learn to love God. And I cannot learn to love God except by learning to trust Him. What implications do we get from this? Are we trusting God? Or are we doubting God and ourselves? Are we staying true to that trust? Or, like the lemmings here, are we canceling out at the last minute and saying, this isn't really who we are? What is our implication for our church? Are we plunging off the cliff, so to speak, and truly believing that all will be well? Or are we changing our identities and realizing that we are someone other than we've been thinking who we are? I have another cartoon to show you here. And this one, again, seems to be almost the identical cliff. This one has the little lemmings coming off the cliff, but then there's poor Fred who put up his parachute. Fred was a little skeptical, and the other lemmings say to him, I'm beginning to wonder about Larry's commitment to the faith. Now, this cartoon, in my mind, stands for when we hedge our bets, when we rely on other things or other people, when we worry, plan, push back, stew, fret, pace the floor, stay up all night, come up with 1,000 plan A, B, C, Ds, and in general, try to hedge those bets. We aren't really saying that we don't have faith, but we just want to make sure that a few other things are in place and that we're really kind of doing what we need to do to make it happen. Annie Lamott has written in her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, that when we trust in God, we get off the hook being the single worst place to be. When you're on the hook, you're thrashing, helpless, furious, like a smaller kid lifted by the seat of his pants by a mean big kid. When you get your hooks out of something, it can roll away, down the hill, away from you, and you can breathe again. It goes away from you in your tight, sweaty grip and the torture of doing somersaults and whining, what if? Or wait, I have one more idea. When we enter into trust with God, we enter into a paradox of not going limp and not feeling so hopeless that we can barely walk. And we release ourselves from the absolute craziness of trying to be our own or other people's higher power. Entering into trust of God means we gain the courage to stop in our tracks right where we are and turn our fixation away from the Gordian knots of our problems. One thing to remember about trusting God is that if we are going to do it, we have to do it. We can tell God what is in our heart, but we can't tell God that we expect only what we want. We must be ready to accept that God will not desert us. God will not let us fall, even if things feel very, very wrong. We should strive for our faith at all times, not just be believers as sometimes we do, like, yes, my children made it safely home. Thank you, God. We have to be willing to be the believers during all the times. So, what should we do to make this happen? And I'm going to stand here before you and say this is a classic case of do as I say, not as I do. I am working toward this, but I confess before you I fall rather short a good many amounts of time. I can spend a great amount of time on a problem, great amount of time, fussing, fretting, making a few phone calls, stewing, walking around, and all of a sudden I can go, oh yeah, I probably should pray about this. I don't tend to do it. So I would encourage that we together could commit to a practice. I am trying to maintain a daily practice of being with God. Sometimes I pray. Sometimes I listen. Sometimes I let my mind race. But I try to raise people in prayer and then put it in my faith that things will turn out the way they should. I'm working hard, really hard, especially as it comes to people I love, on not assuming that I know the way it should turn out. We're also trying to understand that our understanding is limited. The little model that I have is I think that an awful lot of people think kind of like this. And if you are a very sophisticated, faith-filled person, maybe you kind of think like this. But there is all of this out there. There's all of this that we can't even with our human mind begin to comprehend. We need to keep trying to watch, to let things unfold, not knowing what's out there. We're smart, we're good, but our box is kind of like this, and there's so much more out there. And I guess what we need to all try to work on together is knowing that there will be something, we know something will happen, and that we will be okay, whatever okay is. We also can try to help to live our lives in a manner that helps us grow in our understanding of God and each other. I learn so much from you, sitting on a committee with you, talking to you. Please keep sharing your faith and your actions that are testimony to our relationship with God. When Carl Jung was asked in an interview if he believed in God, His response was, "I don't need to believe. I know." And we're going to try to remain true to this relationship, and when things go bad, we're going to try to understand that we haven't been forsaken. And this becomes a bigger problem for me when thinking of the long-term, national, international, horrendous things that are happening every single day. How can I trust God when people are starving? How can I trust God when children are dying? How can I trust God when nations are crumbling, climate is changing, disasters are happening? And all I can go back to is saying again and again, I have to do what I can, and I have to act to make a difference in that, and I have to trust in my faith. On this Memorial Day weekend, we think of those who have gone before us. We most especially think of the soldiers who were willing to give their lives to something that they believed in. We reflect, we thank, we hurt, and we just plain old don't understand. But they had faith. They wouldn't have gone if they didn't have faith. They had faith that there would be a better world. They had faith that they could make a difference. They had faith that they could right wrongs. And they had faith to forge into a tremendous unknown. And I simply cannot believe that they were alone in that faith relationship. Can we put ourselves into God's hands and trust that with us, through us, or maybe even in spite of us, things will unfold in the course of time in the way of God? Peace be with you. Amen.